The work of my heart is the work of the world's heart. There is no other art. I borrowed the title of this sermon from a book by the psychoanalyst Rollo May, in which he explores the nature of creativity. He begins by asserting that courage is necessary for us to be able to create, and he defines courage as the capacity to move ahead in spite of despair. I would widen that a little bit to include moving ahead in spite of other hardships, lack of hope, hunger, fear, anger. He goes on to say that courage is necessary to make being and becoming possible, and he writes about several kinds of courage. First, there is physical courage, the kind we use to protect ourselves and our loved ones from harm. Second, there is moral courage, the kind we use when we stand up for what we believe is right. May sees this as arising out of compassion. Third, there is what he calls social courage. As he says, the courage to relate to other human beings, the capacity to risk oneself over a period of time in a relationship that will demand an increasing openness. And intimacy requires courage because risk is inescapable. Social courage, he says, requires the ability to face two fears, that of being abandoned or being dependent on someone else, and that of losing oneself to the other. Finally, and most importantly, says May, is creative courage, that of discovering new forms, new symbols, new patterns. Creative courage, he says, is required by every profession, but most especially in the arts. What's more, creativity is not just in the act of making art, but in appreciating it. May asserts that when we engage in a work of art, we are experiencing some new moment of sensibility. That is why appreciation of the piece of the creative person is also a creative act on our part. I have to admit, I've never thought of myself as a particularly creative person. I've thought of my artsy friends as moving through the world in kind of a different way than I do. I don't get a lot of poetry or a lot of visual art. I don't. Yeah, thank you, whoever that was. We went to see the Nutcracker a couple of weeks ago, and I remember thinking, gosh, this is all very pretty, and the music is nice, but it didn't move me. I can appreciate paintings for their beauty, but I don't get emotional about them. And I don't create a lot of art. Here's my self-talk. I don't draw well. I don't write poetry. I don't paint. I don't write music. And most basic to my story, my narrative that I'm not creative, I don't come up with new ideas. I can't make up a story out of my head. I can't cook without a recipe. I can't create something beautiful on a blank sheet of paper. But Rollo May uses the word creativity in a little bit of a different way. He says it takes all of the kinds of courage that he describes to engage with change. Physical change, cultural change, technological change, social change. It takes courage and it takes creativity. It takes people who can think in new, in different ways to create new structures and new systems in our society. And departing from May's words, I think it also takes the ability to work together. And this is a way I am creative. Once I hear a story or a poem, I can move ideas into different directions. Or better yet, once I hear the beginnings of an idea from somebody else, I can work with them to open it into some potential that wouldn't happen if there weren't two of us in the room. One of my favorite things to do is work with a small group of people to generate new ways of thinking about ideas or expressing things. It's kind of like bouncing a ball up in the air between us and watching it gather energy as it bounces around the room. This is a way that I feel spirit moving between us in a powerful and a generative way. What Rollo May calls creative courage can be shared in this way as two or several people work together to craft or refine an idea or a design, as they create and appreciate what's being created at the same time. And this is true for work in the arts, as we classically think of them, as well as the work of making change in our world. Brené Brown, who I reference often, who I follow, she's the author and researcher who works on vulnerability. She says there's nothing more vulnerable than creativity. It's up to us, she says, to summon the courage to take what we create out into the world with us, to stand up to the judgment of others and of our worst critics, ourselves. And this is how she talks about doing that. She says it's about knowing your critics. It's about knowing your critics and knowing you're going to get hurt, and allowing yourself and your creation, whatever it is, to be vulnerable to that, because when you armor yourself against vulnerability, you also shut yourself off from everything you do and everything you love. Sounds hard. She says, when we stop caring about what people think, because that's a really good way, right, to say, well, I'm just going to do this and forget what people think. Right? She says when we do that, we lose our capacity for connection. When we become defined by what people think, on the other hand, right, if we let what people think define how we do things, then we lose our capacity to be vulnerable. So it's important, she says, to acknowledge what she calls the critics. And what she calls the critics are these feelings of shame and of scarcity and of comparison that arise to challenge everything we create. Do you know that place? I did this thing, and oh, it's not good enough. Or, oh, look at that person, they did it so much better. Or, who am I to think that I can do this? Shame and comparison and scarcity. Shame is that voice that says, you're not enough, and who do you think you are? Scarcity is the voice that says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Does this really matter? And comparison, right, the voice that says, you can't do this nearly as well as so-and-so over there can. She says it's important to acknowledge these critics because they're always with us, and then to tell them that we're not going to be controlled by our fear of them. There are two keys to this, she says. The first is to have a clarity of values. We have to actually decide if courage is a value that we hold, and if it is, we have to acknowledge the hard things we fear is a consequence of embracing that courage. And the second is to have at least one person to pick us up when we fall. Yes, when we fall. And to help us acknowledge both how hard and courageous that was. Brown says that we create all the time. All the time. And we do, right? We write, or we cook, or we sew, or we draw, or we preach, or we manage people or projects, or we heal, or we teach, or we fix things, or we organize, or we design. So if we create all the time and we fail all the time, there's the self-talk, right? That's good. If we create all the time and we fail some of the time, because we do fail some of the time. That means we succeed part of the time, too. And when we succeed, we create a positive feedback loop. It takes courage to create, and the act of creating provides courage. What do you think people thought of the tailor who made a button out of the fabric from a coat, from a hat, which came from a pair of pants, which came from a coat? I think there are people who might have found that progression kind of amusing. I think there might have been some criticism there. Do you think there was potential for shame for this tailor who hadn't been able to sew anything for himself before? Or there might have been some sense of scarcity or some comparison with the beautiful things he had made for others over the years. The tailor, at his best, could take those things and acknowledge them and still successfully wear out each successive garment to the point of wearing them out with enthusiasm and love. Frederick Buechner, the American writer, theologian, and Presbyterian minister, wrote, "Whatever you do with your life, whatever you end up achieving or not achieving, the great gift you have in you to give to the world is the gift of who you alone are. Your way of seeing things and saying things and feeling about things that is like nobody else's. If so much as a single one of you were missing, there would be an empty place at the great feast of life that nobody else in all creation could fill." May we take courage from knowing that we have the gifts to give, gifts that, if we allow ourselves to be open to the possibilities, can bring love and joy and trust and belonging and empathy to ourselves and to those around us. May we find the courage to begin the cycle, the feedback loop that makes it so.